Indeed, we are back from taking a semi-tiny break on the main show. But we are back with social justice, man, you know. So in the spirit of what's been happening, in the spirit of our the main show, Facts of Patrol. Well, not Facts of Patrol, Fans of Patrol. We are back. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol Lockdown Edition. With me is my studious and sister with a fist up in the air, Miss Tifflebot. How are you this week, Tiff?
I am, you know, so far, so good.
So far, so
good. It's rough out. It's not a good time for anybody, I don't think. And I think we're all just pulling together.
You got dang all right, we're pulling together. And, you know, that's a beautiful thing. You know, for the first time in my history have I ever seen, you know, protests. I'm talking about the peaceful ones, y'all. Protests with, you know, an infusion of white, black, brown, you know, Asian, everything. You know, standing on the same side of the street. It's beautiful, Tiff. It's beautiful.
If you don't it's a very horrible time, but I do take heart when I see the things that people are coming together to do.
Oh my God, you know, some of the stuff has brought me to tears. What we're talking about is the George Floyd protest, something that we haven't been doing on this show, but you know, we love doing these movies that gives us the opportunity to talk about it. Oh, Tiff, you want to hear something smooth? As of today, Warner Brothers is giving away Just Mercy for free after I bought it for our show.
Well, that's great. I think it's a good movie for people to watch.
For other people, yeah, but I'm explaining. This is about me. The Shaft happened again because I bought it. That's all I'm saying. So they give it away.
I understand.
They give it away Just Mercy for free. And I was like, God damn. You know, God damn. We just did that movie and I paid for it. Anyway, man, this week we're doing Do the Right Thing in spirit of social injustice and things like that that's happening in the country. And we're not gonna belabor and, you know, go through politics. I said on the main show that we have been a safe haven for escapism. And also, you know, like bar talk, no religion, no politics, no blah, 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 blah. And so we're going back to that. But, you know, we love doing movies like this because we can say what we want to say and it feels good. Anyway, man. So we're doing 1989, Another Summer. Sound of the Funky Drummer. That's that Public Enemy. It's main theme song, Tiff. I'm sorry. You know, I should do it
yes,
right.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anyway. Movie stars, man, Danny Aiello, the past Danny Aiello, Ozzie Davis, who has passed, Ruby Dee, who has passed, Richard Edson. I can never pronounce Esposito's first name. You know, he was in a play Bugging Out, but he was in...
Giancarlo.
Is that it? Is it that easy?
I think it's Giancarlo, yeah. Yeah.
If you look at it, don't look like that. It looks like... I don't know what the hell you... Spike Lee, Bill Nunn. John Turturro, man, you know, Paul Benjamin, Frankie Faison, Robin Harris, man, Jolie, that's Spike Lee's sister, Miguel Salvatore, I mean, so many, Sam Jackson, Rosie Perez, Roger Smith is in this movie, Martin Lawrence, the who's who, they was all young, Frank Vincent, but he was not young, you know, Gwen McGee, and so full of, like, so many heavy hitters now that's in Hollywood that, you know, back in the day, they was getting their, you know, initial shots, man. So we picked this movie for a reason. And so before we get it going on strong, we need to hit one word. Tiff, what you got? One word. Do the right thing.
Power.
Wow. That's my one word would be bravo. And I mean that. You know, I've used that word before, but I mean it. Funny enough, Tiff, back in the day, in 1989, I was a young whippersnapper. I think I was in 11th grade in 1989. And
I was 4 years old in 1989.
All right, there we go. There's the dynamic, y'all. We got white, we got black, we got male, we got female, we got 4 years old, we got 17 years old. Oh, shit, because my birthday's in December, so, you know, I was one of them older kids. But, I didn't like this movie when I saw it in the theaters, Tiff, you know, and it's an interesting reason why. The movie previous to this came out was School Days, and I really liked that movie because it was about, you know, young college kids, you know, things like that, and I was almost about to be that age. And then this came out, and it was School Days, and most of Spike Lee's movies are what used to be totally about social justice. But this I didn't get, you know, because I hadn't lived any riots. I hadn't seen anything like mm-hmm. that. I didn't know anything about mob mentality. So I didn't get it, you know. And so I didn't like it. You know, I was like, F that movie. But then as I got older, I was like, oh, especially after 1992 when the Rodney King incident happened in L.A., and the the Watts riots and the L.A. riots happened. And then I got it. You know, it was like, oh, shoot, I understand. I appreciated the movie more so after that. I like the movie now, so bravo. So before we get a little deeper, let's hit those spoilers for this old-ass movie. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. 1989.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of people haven't seen it. Tiff, you hadn't seen it until now, right?
No. I mean, if you are culturally aware, when you watch this movie, you'll be like, oh, I recognize that. I recognize that. I recognize that. But I had not seen this full movie until now.
Yeah. A lot of references to the times that happened in there. A lot of racially motivated incidences, you know, were subtly thrown all over the place. You know, they mentioned Bensonhurst being from Bensonhurst, and they were like, black man being massacred, you know, going into the Bensonhurst area, dating Italian, you know, girls, and all kind of shit was in this movie. You know, it was a petri dish for flame and fire. You know, just they were just being lobbed everywhere. You know, and if you didn't know, you know, if you grew up during this time, then you would know. But you know, without, you know, having that history, then some of it probably fell on deaf ears. You know, anyway, man. So let's get it on, man. Movie starts a bunch of heat. They want to let you know right in the middle, right in the beginning, that there is a bunch of damn, it's a hot day, which is always in the cities, you know, a recipe for disaster if tensions are high. And so they try to introduce you to all the characters, you know, with this DJ played by Samuel L. Jackson, who was not Samuel L. Jackson. He was just that guy back in 1989. Nobody knew who this dude was, Tiff. And so how are you digging this ending with the introductions and the showing of different people and things like that in Spike Lee fashion?
Okay. So before the movie starts, Rosie Perez dances.
Oh, I just leaped over that because it was insignificant to me, but go ahead.
dances during the opening credits. And it's mesmerizing. Crazy to watch. Like, I don't know, it's just, I could watch it all day long. One thing about this movie that's really interesting is that the movie mirrors the tension in the acts itself. So at the beginning, like, everything feels very kind of loose and fine in the beginning. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything feels like, hey, it's just another day. Everyone's kind of going about their stuff. It's nothing's like, everyone's like kind of getting along in the neighborhood and doing whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like there's... But the way that things are shot and like stuff like that kind of mirrors it, which is really cool. Because like when I thought about this movie after I watched it, one of the things I thought was like, wow, it started to feel really chaotic with the way that like the movie is made itself. And I was like, wow, that was like done on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Because you don't realize that until things... to further on in the film. But yeah, because you're zipping from here to there to there. And what it really is introductions of different characters and different mindsets. So I understand you on that one. Go ahead.
Yeah. They do a really good job of being like, so in when you watch this movie, and it's a point that's really made, is that like nobody is innocent and nobody is necessarily a villain. There are some people who come off obviously really badly. But like you just get the impression that these are just normal people that you might see in your neighborhood.
Yeah, Spike Lee makes it his mission to show that these are totally normal people with their own biases about every damn thing, like people are. I mean, and I agree with his point of view. You know, I love, you know, here on Fans of Patrol, we love all men. But do we have our biases? Absolutely. We grew up in this country that you know, instills and reinforces all those biases. And it takes the intellect and wisdom to break free of those biases and see the situation for what it is. And these are not complex people that he's showing. These are everyday people who may not have sat around and thought about the implicit biases that they have for, you know, life and a person of another race and even their own race, you know?
Right.
Okay, so... Yeah, they introduce us to Mookie, who was actually the star of the show, Spike Lee. And this is back in the days, Tiff, when we used to always wonder, why Spike Lee keep acting in these movies with his non-acting ass?
He's not good at acting. I thought that. I was like, why? I just don't understand. I told Montego before the show started that I was like, oh, that's Spike Lee. And then after a while, I was like, oh, but he's not very good at acting.
Oh, it's terrible. Really terrible. Oh, he's terrible. He's terrible. He's always been terrible. And he just kept acting in movies, Steve.
And then also, so for the long... This is going to sound so stupid, but I think you'll understand me when I say this. So for the first part of the movie, I was like, are they saying Moogie? Like Quark's mom?
Nope. They're saying Mookie.
Mookie with a K. And I realized that about like 15 to 20 minutes into the movie. Okay. But I was like... Why are they calling him Moogie?
They're not calling him Moogie. Now, here you go. Just for our non-black listeners, Mookie is pretty regular like street name in the black community. You got Mookies, you got Pookies.
Really?
Oh yes, you do. You do.
What's a Pookie?
Oh, it's just nicknames. You know, Pookie could be a girl or a boy. Mookie is normally a guy, but you know, it's nickname.
Okay.
I mean, even your boy here had a nickname in the ghetto back in the day. It was BB. Ain't that a bitch? Just so y'all know. Full disclosure. Taking off my clothes, y'all. Letting y'all see underneath. So we get introduced to Spike Lee. We get introduced to Sal and his sons, and I really like their introduction because. John Turturro plays one of the sons, and he's so divisive. You know, Sal, who's played by Danny Aiello as the dad, you know, really shows that he's kind of adapted to the neighborhood. Even though in his heart of hearts, he may be a stone cold racist, and I believe in this movie he is. However, he has come to the point in his mind and his heart that these people are his bread and butter, and he will not disrespect them to a point.
Right.
But the John Turturro, his character, has not learned this. He hates the neighborhood. He hates the people. That's Pino and Tito, the other brother. He hates the neighborhood. He hates everything about it. And Tino, he's actually one of those guys that's like, look, man, I like the brothers, man. You know, what's your damn problem? So that's a problem within these three characters, and I love that dynamic. What about you?
Yeah, so John Turturro... He's a great actor. He does a great job in this movie.
Phenomenal actor.
So Spike Lee does a really great job of showing us without doing much. That's the definition of like a good storyteller. That there is, like you said, there's tension between Pino, Vito, and then of course the dad. And I think, you know, Pino kind of represents that common white mentality of like a white racist mentality where like it's not even necessarily like the people he is like seeing like and it is the people, but he like thinks he's better than like everyone, and he's pretty garbage. I think like out of all the people, Pino is the most easily disliked.
He's the worst player on the chessboard, that's for sure, because he has no reason to feel the way he does. But he just does.
No, like he should be. And I mean, like, he, in all honesty, if you are raised, it should have been easier for him to feel the way Vito felt. Because it's not, you know, he was raised there. He should feel familiar. He should feel, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yes, he has a complete kinship to the neighborhood and the people who are all minorities. And he doesn't feel that divide like Pino does. Pino is just, everything about him is divide. And he just doesn't want anything to do with it.
Garbage.
Yeah, he's a terrible person, but he is funny.
But he pushes down, I think, on his brother Because
he's a...
And it's a very typical power thing bully. Where, like, he feels powerless, so he picks on somebody.
Yeah, he's a total bully, no matter who would be there. If it was only two white guys on the whole planet left, he would figure out a way to be racist against the other white guy. I mean, that's just...
Right.
That's just him. And so they show these guys. They show... Mookie's sister. They show us that Mookie has a child and a screeching, annoyingly girlfriend who just wants him to spend time with her. And they establish these characters: the mayor, who's a drunk, but he's involved in everything and he's everywhere, all over the day.
I like the mayor. He's so nice.
The mayor is such a nice guy. You just wish he would just wash his goddamn clothes.
Okay, so I want to talk a little bit about Rosie Perez's character, Tina.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she gets really mad at Mookie for, like leaving and not coming back for, like, a week or whatever.
Yeah.
And so what she kept saying, you won't come back for a week. She's still, like, really, like, she loves Mookie and, like, wants to, like, she wants him to be there because she loves him. But it's a very... Like, for me, I was confused because why would he, like, that was one confusing point for me was, like, why would he go away for, like, a week? Was he just, like, working or was that the point that Mookie was trying to make a point, I feel, that I missed?
Well, Mookie is a street dude and who knows what he's doing. But one thing's for sure, with that mouth on that woman, goodness gracious, only so many men on the planet could sit there and listen to Mookie. You ain't shit. You saw that. You know,
she does bear down on him.
Ooh, I mean, and her voice is annoying, and everything about her is annoying. But she fine, you know, 1989 fine. So, you know.
Well, also Mookie, like, and I could be wrong about this, mm-hmm. but, like, so one of the first scenes that we see is Mookie, like, waking up his sister.
Right.
It's for me, it's uncomfortable. It's too familiar. It's like, why are you in your sister's bed, like, touching her like that?
It was a little weird, but you know, that's
his, it's weird.
That's his sister in real life, though. Ain't that funny?
Oh, that's fucked up.
That's actually, but, you know, Miss
Lee. Some siblings are, like, have a close relationship like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, Miss Jolie, her brother. Yeah,
that's too much.
Yeah. The head on the face and stuff like that. But who knows? You know, it never went over the line. But yeah, I feel you on that. So Mookie works at the pizzeria and everything is about Sal's Pizzeria. And let's not forget about... the movie kind of starts with the one guy with the stutter. He's kind of the diminished Smiley.
I was so worried about Smiley the whole movie.
Yeah.
I was worried someone was gonna hurt him.
Yeah. But if you think hood, and if you ever grew up in a hood, you know, you have that, and nobody really, people kind of bother them. You know, well, yeah, you could, it could be a problem, Tiff. You're absolutely right.
I felt like I was being led down a path where Smiley would have been the one.
The focal point of this movie, like something was going to happen to him.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I could see that. Because
he kept referencing Malcolm X and Dr. King.
And he was so likable.
I mean, his name is Smiley.
Right.
Because he's very nice.
Right.
But I do like it later in the movie. He does, like, fuck you, and, like, some other stuff.
With the stutter and everything, right? You know, all mad and stuff. So I was
like, yeah, Smiley, you tell him.
So we're going through, you know, Spike Lee's character, Mookie. All he wants to do is get paid. And we have these side characters like Robin Harris and all these other people who they're showing this prejudice, not racist, but prejudice amongst each other. They're feeling disenfranchised. They're feeling that, you know, when the three guys are looking at the Koreans across the street who don't really respect the neighborhood, but
mm-hmm.
are making money, and they don't like this and they don't like this because how come they can't overcome and become successful? Why are these people in their neighborhood? Because the two business owners in the whole movie were people not of color, well, Asian, but, you know, you have Sal and you have Asian, and then you have a black neighborhood, you know, and they're the only ones really making money, and
right.
And everybody's right. Supporting them, and that's a problem, and that's a problem for real. It's been a problem in the black community since I was a kid. You know, it's just like, wow, this does happen. How come I can't go to the bank and get along? You know, because you don't have credit. Okay, I'm trying to get credit. Okay, now you got credit. Now you got to, you don't have enough credit. You know, it's always something. And that's their purpose for being in this movie. So we do this thing in a movie where Mookie is making his deliveries and we get a chance to know people. So now we're trying to get to the crux of the thing. You know, the one Italian guy comes in a Cadillac and he's sprayed by the kids. And we're introduced to our cops who, you know,
yes,
come to his aid, but not really, you know, not really. They just come and turn off and threaten the neighborhood and move on. So where are you at in this tip?
Even people who are from the Midwest, like me, mm-hmm. so you, because I feel like you have a more world awareness than I do, because I haven't traveled as much, but know of that famous kind of like Brooklyn or New York thing where they take the fire hydrant off.
Oh, yeah.
And they make the little hose thing with the tube. And so, like, that was, like, and it just made me feel like it felt like summer. So when you're watching that. yeah, but then, like, point. You're watching that guy drive down the street and you're like, I fucking want them to get that guy.
Right, you fool! Because he's talking so much shit, you know? Don't you do it! Don't you do it! Dude, just turn around and go the other way. Right? And then everything would be all right.
Why would you anyway? Like, in my opinion, well, because you're a piece of shit, but like, if I'm driving down the street and there's like kids playing in the street and they're like having like a hose party, like the sprinkler or something like that, you know what I mean? If I don't want to get my shit wet, I'm not going to be like, hey, you kids, put your shit away. I'm going to be like, nah, I'm just going to go up a block.
But I think,
you know what I mean? I'm not going to be like,
I think that was the point, Tev, that he was such a piece of shit.
Right. He's a piece of shit.
And he
he's
a piece of shit. Expected the cops, just like Amy Cooper, to come to the rescue and do something. But this time, they didn't. They came and boom, 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 boom. And you know, we're introduced to our would-be villains later on in the movie. So, we get introduced to Bug Out, who comes in and has some pizza. And he's like, why is no brothers on the wall? And, you know, two legitimate arguments in this. I have spent years thinking about this argument because Bug Out comes in and he's like trying to eat his pizza and he looks up and he's like, why is no brothers on the wall? We got, you know, Sylvester Stallone, we got Dean Martin, we got all these Italians. And Salo's like, it's my Italian restaurant and I want to have Italians on the wall and that's it. And Bug Out was like, well, you could do this, and that. After careful deliberation over years, Tev, Sal should have had some brothers on the wall, man. He really should, because the way he felt about that community, Sal had a love for that community, and he was trying to instill it in his boys. And he kept saying that these people have stuck with him. Everybody has grown up on his pizza. He was so proud of that. And if you were so proud of the people growing up on your pizza and knowing you and always coming every day for their slice, you could have had Italian-Americans and you could have had famous African-Americans, but he didn't. And so at the end of the day, I'm with Bug Out because – yes. Yeah, he didn't have to take down the Italians, but your bread and butter has been these people. And without them, you don't have a business, and you should have had some brothers on the wall. Go ahead, Tim.
I do think that's kind of the genius, some of the genius of this movie and geniusness of, like, because we watched Black Klansman, which is another Spike Lee movie.
An excellent movie.
It's a great movie. Mm-hmm. I would highly recommend it. I do think that these kind of scenes that make you think about stuff for, like you said, years are kind of the magic of this movie.
I agree.
But also I think like there is that he's making a statement with that, which is so powerful and interesting. It's that like he's basically saying like, look how easy it could have been for you not to have been a piece of shit.
Yes.
It would have been as easy as putting a photo on the wall. I'm not saying that fixing racism is as easy as putting a photo on the wall. But I think the point is that he's saying that like we all can make steps and strides to be better. And a lot of people refuse to do even the smallest, easiest thing.
Yes. Yes.
And it's amazing that you can show that with just this one small, probably a thing that most people would watch the movie and be like, oh, well, he's just annoyed. He doesn't want to do it. Do you know what I mean? But like, right. It's that in kind of like, it's like an earworm. It gets in there and you think about it.
Big time. Like I said, for years, you know, and Bug Out was actually pretty cool in the beginning when he even brought it up. He left. He was asked to leave. His buddy took him out and he left. And, you know, he was an abrasive type of dude, but he didn't go too far at that thing. So Sal could have just been like, you know what? You're right. God damn it, you're right. I'm going to put some brothers up as soon as I get a chance, and everything would have been cool. You know?
I mean, I also think that, like, you're right. He wasn't even going to, even when the stuff started rising up at the end, he didn't even want stuff to go bad. He was just going to say, hey, don't eat at Sal's for one day.
For one day, boycott Sal's, right. And so this is where things get interesting, because we're introduced to my favorite character in this whole thing, and that's Radio Raheem. Blast
Everybody
that.
Everybody loves Radio Raheem.
Blast that Public Enemy. Yes, indeed. I mean, because he's so cool. He got his love and his hate. And, you know, let's not forget that the Spike Lee-isms that happen in the movie, where they have each race spew the most vile racist shit about the other race, and they move on to the other. They have the cop say this, that, and the other. The Asian say this, that, and the other. The black say this, that, and the other. The Hispanic say this, that, and the other. And it's like, this is what people are feeling in their soul when they're frustrated and when they feel powerless. And let's put that on the table so the audience will know that this is what's really happening. And I thought that was genius, Tef. What about you?
Yeah. It's really a powerful, like, if you just took that moment of the movie, which I think is probably arguably maybe the most famous part of this movie. Like, I think that people have seen, like, that clip. And I do think, like, that itself is enough to, like, just that portion of the movie is enough to make a really strong statement.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Especially the way it was shot and whatnot.
Yeah. And, like, I think, like, you know, so, like, it's not just, in the way he does it, it's not just like black people just say things about white people. It's like black people against the white people, and then Italians against African Americans, and then the Latinos said something about the Koreans. You know what I mean? Like, it was all like a bunch of different, it wasn't just saying, it's basically saying this is not just one person's problem.
Oh yeah. White people are racist and black people are oppressed. It was saying, look, everybody's tripping, you know, to the core. But people, they want to show you how justified that some of the people are, and they're thinking, maybe not justified is a good word, but I'm trying to think, and it's not really justified, but it's like, it's kind of like a reason why. I think they feel
righteous in it.
Exactly. Exactly. Each feel 100% comfortable and righteous, and this is the way I feel, and this is why. And look, just look. So I love the boombox battle between Radio Raheem and the Latinos. I thought that was great. And then, you know, just a break from the heaviness. And my favorite scene in the movie, Tiff. My favorite scene in the movie.
Okay.
How many you want? 20, motherfucker. 20. Right.
Okay. What he calls him when the Korean store owner says, "You are a motherfucker," and right. he's like, "You're all right."
Right, it didn't bother him. It didn't bother him that he was like striking back. He's like, "Motherfuck you," and he was like, "I was like, this scene. If you never seen this movie, oh my god, that scene right there, because at first he calls the motherfucker the lady, right? Because she was like, "How many you say?" He's like, 20, motherfucker. I'm like, wow, this dude is just like a moron.
I cannot believe that thing. I mean, I can, because I had a boombox that was even later, like in the late 90s, early 2000s, I had a stereo, a boombox.
Right, right, right.
That took like, I think
10
D batteries. And I remember, so when I was like, holy shit, 20.
20 D batteries.
That's going to be so expensive.
Oh shit. But he didn't hesitate to go get it. So that's my favorite scene in the whole movie, Tiff. I mean, I waited for it the whole time. So, man, you know, Bugging Out decides that it's time that he wants to go boycott Sal and show Sal what's up. And so at the end of the day, there's a really kind of heartwarming scene between Sal and the neighborhood kids and Mookie. And it's just killing Pino. Pino hates everything about this. Because he says, yes, Mookie is like one of his sons. It's always a place to him, for him there. He had a really good day. You know, they had some adversity. It was hot, but they had, you know, people poured in and got their food. And, you know, Sal was happy, man. He was in a very good mood. And then he lets in the neighborhood kids after they were closed. And then Bugging Out shows up with Radio Raheem playing Fight the Power. And things boil over. Sal takes the most precious item away from Radio Raheem and hits it with a baseball bat. Tiff, where are you?
Okay, so, I mean, there's a lot of stuff happening in this scene, and it's just, okay, so I do think, like, it does kind of reveal that, like, hey, even people who, like, okay, so maybe they thought that Sal was, like, not a bad guy, but, like, even the people who seem like okay people can be pieces of shit.
Oh yeah, because as soon as he got mad, he started spewing the N-word left and right, you know, and they were like, right. Whoa, motherfucker, you know, and I was like, oh, go ahead.
And when he smashes that boombox, it's so sad because it's just everything to Radio Raheem.
It's his most prized possession, man. It's almost like you slapped the shit out of his kid, you know, or something, you know. So yeah, he's crushed. And then it starts, you know, he starts choking Sal. There's a fight. It spills out into the streets and the cops come. And I watched this movie with my entire family last night, Tim.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter's never seen it. And I'm watching a movie, but I'm looking at them. And I saw it in their face, you know, of how chaos and riots and things like that spread, but how they can start as one thing and turn into something else.
Yeah.
And I saw it in their face that they were so affected by it, you know, as I was, because I was about their age when I saw this movie. And I was so affected back in the day when I saw that, you know, the different points of views, the screaming, the hollering, the chaos. Nobody wins when there's looting and rioting. And that's what happened. You know, the cops show up when things get worse because they don't want to ask any questions. And this is New York police officers, you know, and they show up and what they do, they put Radio Raheem in a chokehold. And when things could have stopped, when they didn't have to go any further, when things were under control, they continued and they murdered the boy in front of everybody on the streets. Sounds familiar. And they pick him up, they throw him in a squad car, and they take off, and they leave the neighborhood there to deal with it. Sounds familiar. And at that point, Sal and his boys are still around, and there's some disbelief and things going on, and they turn on Sal and go in and start smashing up everything and burning down the restaurant. Where are you with this, Tiff?
So, obviously, with everything happening, this is very hard to watch.
Absolutely.
And I do think, not to, potentially, if you are feeling very raw right now, this is a very hard, like, this might not be the best time to watch this movie. But on the other hand, it is, like, a really good time to watch this movie because it makes you feel, like, power. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're like, this is the right, what, you know, to do what's right. But I stopped the movie briefly after this happened.
Really?
Yes. Because I felt so sad. Which is, that's the hallmark, is the truth in storytelling.
Yeah.
But, it was just really hard to watch. And I think that they do. So it's crazy to think, how long this has been an issue, even longer than this movie.
Yeah, this movie was telling a story about this shit going on forever, you know. And so, yeah, Tiff. I mean, I'm not trying to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No. That's all I wanted to say. I just think that it's a very, I just can't even believe. There's like no words to like say like how insane that is. That this movie that was made, what is it, more than 30 years ago?
Yeah, 1989.
Is something that we still have to deal with today.
Yeah, and that's, I believe, the reason why, you know, the protest is saying that, the protesters now are saying, you know, justice for George, but it has little to do with George Floyd. It has to do mainly with all of the years and years and years and decades and centuries of preferential treatment against black people. And It's so much. And even for the brown people and the minorities who, you know, should stick together because there's strength in numbers. The brilliance of this movie is that it showed the actual point of view with the exception. Well, no, it didn't. It actually showed the point of view of those cops, which is not the point of view of every cop, but the bad racist cops. Absolutely. It showed the point of view and how they led up to this thing and how it was sparked and how bad things turned out. A young man died at the end. You know, the pizzeria got burned down. Sal had racist, ideals. But Sal was pretty much a good guy, though. He really was.
So, I think this does do a good job of showing, all the different ways.
Perspective.
That racism happens and the severity of the consequences of those things happening.
Yes. It does a brilliant job of it. So, after Radio Raheem dies, the next day, Mookie gets up. He spent the night with his wife, with his girlfriend and his kid. And she has her tension tantrum about him leaving. He comes, but the scene with him and Sal and start throwing money back at each other because he wants to get paid $250. And Sal gives him $500. He throws it back at him, says he owes him $50. And, you know, Sal's frustrated, but Mookie doesn't care. He's like, Radio Raheem died. Who gives a goddamn about this place? You're going to make out on insurance anyway. Sal's thing is like, I built this with my hands. I get it. There you go. Perspective again. Brilliant filmmaking. I mean, this movie just keeps giving it. And that's pretty much it. But I like the scene where they show Smiley, you know, showing, you know, the Malcolm X one ideology and Martin Luther King one ideology that, you know,
mm-hmm.
violence, you know, is a mean to an end, or, you know, pacifism is the other. And it's a great, 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 great commentary. Where are you at on this?
So I do think that Spike Lee, of the films I've seen, has a really great way to end his films.
Mm-hmm.
And he usually does make sure to, include
something real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, real stuff. Not that the stuff that happened in the film wasn't real, but tributes to victims, or making sure that people understand these things are happening now and stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, this movie went off. My one daughter was super upset. She went upstairs real fast and didn't talk about it. The other daughter kind of hang around. And I'm sitting there I'm glad they watched it, because my daughters, as far as the way I've been raised, are practically rich girls. And they've never had to deal with, you know, living in areas like this, you know. And in my point of view, they would have been rich girls with me growing up. You know, not that we're not rich, trust me. But, I really wanted them to see, because this is a difficult world to try to navigate. And we're all trying to just, you know, get there. And something like this movie, and especially in times like this, could really give perspective, especially for your own self, because you might think the cops is pieces of shit and racist, but is that you know? And or are you Sal, or are you, you know, bugging out? Who are you, you know? And so it could really focus you and give you a pause to think. And if you are any of these people who perpetuate this negative racism, you know, and bias, you know, maybe it's time to stop. And that's what I love about this movie. Tiff, go ahead.
Yeah, it just gives you a lot of stuff to consider. Even if you think of yourself, as a perfect person, or an open person, everybody can do better.
Absolutely. And with that, we're going to call it a day. I love this movie. I didn't love it back in the day. It grew on me, you know, as my experience in this world, you know, grew. And I think, especially in this day and age, right now, this would be a good movie to watch. Good movie to watch, you know. Hopefully you won't get too upset by it, but with the stuff going on in this world, perspective is everything. Perspective. And so that's going to do it, Tiff. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tivelbot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff. But before you do, Tiff, I don't know what the hell we doing this week on this week's show. We haven't even discussed it. We got to talk about it, Tiff. So we'll get back with y'all. Oh, we're doing Space Force.
Space Force.
We're doing Space Force and we're doing Stargirl. So there we go. We got a show. Right. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the sensitive one herself, Miss Tivelbot. Say goodbye to the people, Tiff.
It's been a pleasure.
Indeed. And until this weekend, we will be
on patrol.